This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Nuclear weapons in the 21st century. Reuters in Moscow. Moscow said it had been left with, quote, no other choice but to cancel talks with the United States about the, quote, New START nuclear weapons control treaty, according to Russian state news media. By and large, went the statement, the situation was such that we had no other choice. The decision was made at the political level. At the same time, from the U.S., we have this intelligence that, Reuters again, China likely to have 1,500 nuclear warheads by 2035, Pentagon. It is a quandary. Two nuclear powers as adversaries to the United States nuclear power. Welcome Anton LaGuardia, the diplomatic editor of The Economist magazine, to help us sort out Russia threat, China threat, what is to be done about arms control in the 21st century. We begin with Russia, however, because in these last days, significant voices in the U.S., I'm thinking immediately of Admiral Charles Richard, commander, the commander right now looking at STRATCOM's threat posture, saying that Ukraine is just the warm-up to a conflict ahead. He called it the big one. Anton, a very good day to you. We can be alarmed anytime we look at Ukraine, but stepping back 20,000 feet, we're also looking at the nuclear arsenals of three powers. Let us begin with Russia's nuclear arsenal. These New START talks, the Russians say all the U.S. wanted to do was talk about inspections. What is New START in the 21st century? What does it mean to the U.S. and to Russia? Good day to you.
Hi, John. Good to be with you. New START is the last major arms control treaty between the U.S. and Russia. The U.S. and Russia stockpiles came down after the Cold War, but they still account for about 90% of the world's nuclear stockpiles. And New START runs till 2026, and then you can't renew it. So they've been talking about what will follow it, and the war in Ukraine broke out, and talks have been suspended ever since. And if you don't get a deal by 2026, then the treaty expires, then you're in the possible world of a new arms race with the Russians.
The New START treaty is a remnant of 2009, when the relationship between Moscow and Washington was a different flavor. I believe Medvedev was then the president, Vladimir Putin was the prime minister, and Barack Obama traveled to Moscow. Hillary Clinton was the secretary of state. Those were the early days. Since then, of course, we've had crisis after crisis in Ukraine, in Crimea, and now an open conflict. The spokesperson for the foreign ministry was passionate about saying, we're not going to talk to you about New START while you're making hybrid war on Russia. So right now, has this been lost into the conflict in Ukraine? Is it impossible to imagine talking about arms control as long as they're shooting in Donbass?
I think that's a reality. I think everybody realizes that time is running short to try and get some kind of follow-on agreement. The other thing that has happened in Ukraine, of course, is that Vladimir Putin has used the threat of nuclear weapons at least to fend off the prospect of Western intervention in Ukraine, direct intervention in Ukraine, but has rattled the saber quite publicly, which has alarmed people. It's seen as a new age of in which you use nuclear weapons, not just to forestall a nuclear attack on yourself, but to enable a conventional attack on your neighbor, to coerce a neighbor. The good news is that despite all the tension, the Americans and the Russians continue to exchange information about the strategic weapons. Those are the long-distance weapons with which the ICBMs and the submarine launch weapons and so on, which they use to hold each other at risk. So they continue, the treaty continues to operate. The on-site inspections had been suspended because of COVID, not because of Ukraine, but it's proving very difficult to get them restarted because of Ukraine.
We have different weapons for different needs. And since Ukraine war, I believe there's been much attention to tactical nuclear weapons. which I puzzle. Were they part of the original discussion in 2009? Are they relevant now when and if the new START is again negotiated?
Well, a nuke is a nuke is a nuke. So on the one hand, you can say there's no distinction between a strategic and a tactical weapon. Tactical weapons typically are of shorter range, so they're not the intercontinental ballistic missiles that you and I lived through during the Cold War. But they are the weapon that people think, if it ever came to a nuclear escalation in Ukraine, would be what is used. They're smaller. You use them in the theater rather than against each other's cities. And, that could serve the purpose of a demonstration or to try to force the Ukrainians to back down and to stop fighting. So far, it hasn't happened, thank God. But people do worry about it a lot, particularly in Washington. They're not controlled by the treaty. The treaty controls only the long-distance weapons. The Russians have about 2,000 tactical warheads. The Americans have about 200. And it's difficult to see a really clear military use, but the Russians cling on to them in the same way as NATO used to in the days of the Cold War, because they felt that they were the weaker side conventionally. Therefore, the nuclear weapons were a way to rebalance military power.
The nuke is a nuke is a nuke, Anton, you say it perfectly, and I've heard the same thing, and I've said it myself. The question here is, I ask you to speculate only a little bit because you're in Washington. A tactical nuclear weapon, if used anywhere in the European conflict underway right now, that's a catastrophe, correct? I mean, there would be no scale. Oh, well, they didn't take out a city, therefore we can continue as we are. If a nuke is used, do we believe we've got full-scale war? Is that a concern?
That is certainly a concern. Two things. The Americans have made a point of saying we will defend every inch of NATO. Ukraine is not in NATO, and we don't intervene directly in Ukraine. We help them by providing weapons. At what point does giving them help, so much help, become deemed to be tantamount to being, allies? So that's a political question there, and that's in the eye of the Russians. The Americans have told the Russians, if you use a nuclear weapon in Ukraine, the consequences will be catastrophic. Yeah. They don't spell out what catastrophic means, but we believe it means a conventional response, probably against Russian forces in Ukraine. So you've heard Dave Petraeus, a former CIA director, talk about taking out the Black Sea Fleet,
yes,
for example.
Yes.
But even if it starts conventionally, a response begins conventionally, you don't know where it ends up. It could easily escalate. The Russians could respond with nuclear weapons. Then you're into the world of nuclear war. So it is extremely dangerous. We don't want to go there. We could possibly avoid it.
Now we've reviewed the Cold War in the 20th century. We come to the 21st century, and Anton introduces us to a quandary in physics, Newtonian physics, a three-body problem to do with two planets wandering around each other. You can predict their orbits. But when a third body enters, a third planet, it's unpredictable. And the third body is China, which is why I pointed to that headline that the U.S. says China is building its arsenal. The three-body problem means Admiral Richards, head of Strategic Command, says he needs a new generation of Cold War thinking or nuclear posture thinking. Is this also true in Moscow and in Beijing? All three capitals are now dealing with the unpredictable nature of peer military powers with nuclear weapons.
I think it's a problem principally for the United States, because the Russians and the Chinese are in friendly relations, let's say, when they're both antagonists of the United States. So the U.S. problem is we may have two peers that gang up on us. I'm putting it in very simple, crude terms. Therefore, do we need twice as many weapons as we have now? The American arsenal is sized to deal principally with Russia. If China is growing fast, and it is, as a nuclear power, do we need more weapons? Some people are starting to say this. People who believe in arms control saying, there's no rush, don't panic. China is building up fast, yes, but it's still a long way from matching the size of our arsenal. Therefore, don't throw away the gains of arms control. It's really helpful to know what the Russians are doing, because you can exchange information and have mutual inspections. But it does make the whole problem more unpredictable and more difficult to manage. And as you know, the United States is extremely worried about the military rise of China. Its conventional power and now its nuclear arsenal is growing very fast as well. And they worry that this may imply a change of posture by the Chinese, not just the minimal deterrent they used to have, but something more aggressive and forward-leaning than they have traditionally maintained.
I'm speaking with Anton LaGuardia, the diplomatic editor of The Economist magazine, about the 21st century nuclear weapon face-off between the United States and Russia, between the United States and Russia and China, and then all three together in context of the Ukraine war, but the larger Eurasian challenges. And when we come back, what about the doctrines that worked so well in the first Cold War? Are they applicable to what we're viewing now? I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.